Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here, and this is our first edition of Office Evolution Radio for January 2019, and I'm excited to have Full House here at Office Evolution Dunwoody. All right, next up on Office Evolution Radio, I got Emily Yu. Did I say that right?
You did.
All right.
Good morning.
With Yu Family Law. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us about Yu Family Law. How are you serving folks?
I am a family law attorney, and my law firm does all family law. I do divorces, custody modifications, child support, alimony. I also am a guardian ad litem who's appointed by the court to investigate the best interest of children, and I'm a mediator.
Wow. Busy, busy, busy.
A little bit.
So how did you decide to make family law your specialty?
I actually went into law school not knowing what area of law I wanted to do, but I quickly learned, one, that I enjoy litigation and being in the courtroom. I'm probably one of a more limited number of family law attorneys who are happy to take a case to trial if needed. And then I also have a psychology background. I like dealing with families and in particular children. And so family law was a good fit for me.
Did you try other areas of law?
I tried a little bit of transactional. I've tried being in the prosecutor's office. I've tried some personal injury and workers' compensation as well.
So when you tried those, what was the things that you were like, you know what, maybe I got to kind of go family?
I think for me, family law works well because I have an opportunity to work very closely with people and their families, and I have an opportunity to help them rebalance a relationship dynamic that hopefully will allow them to be better parents and co-parents for their children. And so for me, I feel like this is a way for me to impact people on a, you know, on a more daily, real level.
Now, the stakes are super high, right? And you're advocating for your clients. Is there, how do you kind of manage the human part of this?
So there are times when things are very stressful or when there are issues that are very, very stressful, including, you know, child abuse or allegations of sexual molestation. I tell my clients that we are always going to handle our case ethically, honestly, and professionally. I will fire a client for knowingly lying because I believe that, especially when children are involved, that those are the only guidelines you can use to make sure that you come out of your case with whatever that right result is.
Mm-hmm. And then, so then that helps you kind of vet your clients, right? If you can sense that there's a problem in that area, then it's not the right fit.
That's exactly right. And I also tell clients that, you know, they should interview other attorneys as well. You know, they have to make sure that who they select is a good fit for them. And I may not be the right person.
Right. Now, when you're working with a client, what does the onboarding look like when the first time they come in? I'm sure it's not like they do this every day. So what can they expect?
Well, I try to make the initial process as stress-free as possible. And I usually tell them, you know, come in with some income information. Tell me what you know about how your finances are managed. Tell me what you know about what assets you have. But if you don't know that information, it's okay. We are going to figure it out as we go. Mm-hmm. The most important thing for me when they come in is that they can tell me, again, honestly, what is it that they want? What are the problems that have been going on? And what do they think is best?
And so you discuss like possible outcomes that are acceptable or they'd like to have?
Yes. Yeah, so I go through possible outcomes based on what they've shared with me. The interesting thing about family law that's different than other areas is that evidence builds as the case goes, right? So I remind people that you should be on your best behavior and that that will have an impact on the outcome as well. And then given the fact that we're working with people, relationships, and children, the cases also change over time. You know, as a child goes from 12 to 14, if you're still in litigation, that will shift the dynamic about how your case will resolve.
And they may not know that going in, right?
Correct. And then there's always the wild card if they decide not to settle and go to trial. And I tell them, you know, a judge is like any other human being. They could have a good day. They could have a bad day. And at the end of it, they're getting a very small glimpse of your life. And so I try to avoid trial. I try to tell my clients to work on settling if possible. And then sometimes there are issues that just don't settle and you decide to take your chances with the court. But I never guarantee an outcome because I cannot control that judge.
Right. No matter what you say or do.
It's not up to me.
It's out of your hands at that point, right?
And I remind my clients it's out of their hands, too. If they decide to settle, at least they still have some control over this outcome.
But that's what, because I guess people in their head think this is right and fair, so this should be the outcome. And that's not necessarily what happens, right?
And I think that's the hardest part. I think the perfect example of this is in adultery. A lot of people will come to me and say, well, you know, he or she cheated on me, and so they shouldn't be allowed to be with the children.
Right, and here's all this evidence. It's black and white, right? It's right in front of your face.
Well, and so Georgia law actually defines adultery as intercourse, which is very hard to actually prove. Even with the best PI, I may not be able to get those pictures. But most of the time, you have enough evidence to know that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But the difficulty is, one, does adultery mean that someone is a bad parent or just a bad spouse? Right? There's a distinction there. And then two, people tend to forget that particularly in metro area Atlanta, our judges see adultery all the time. And, you know, when people make the assumption that adultery is going to have this huge effect.
This monumental impact on the judge.
Right. And sometimes they're very wrong. And you know, we don't know the personal lives of the judges who are judging us.
Right.
I think we would all be.
They might
exactly
be doing adultery.
Right. So you want to be careful with that.
Right. If you're going to play that card as the person's the devil for this and the judge is doing it, you may not get him on your side.
And people forget that when they're emotional.
Right. So I guess that psychology background helps a lot, right? Because you have to kind of manage them emotionally through this.
I think a lot of family law, what I say to people is I'm more than your attorney. I am your counsel. I can give you the legal advice. I can tell you what the law says and what the case law says. But I'm an attorney who's also going to talk to you about the emotional and mental impact of your actions and decisions. Everything's a cost-benefit analysis. But I can't value how much this stress is on you. Or I can't value how much you're failing to interact with your co-parent is going to have on your children, right? Only my client can value that, and then they can assess it from there.
And because that's how they have to think, right? Because if the kid's four, you're talking 14 years at least.
At least.
Right.
And I tell my clients, you know, you want to be there for the college graduation.
Right.
You want to be there for the wedding, for the birth of your grandchildren. And you don't want your grandchildren to sense that there's been a problem with their grandparents. That's ridiculous.
Right. And that's, I guess, you lose sight in the emotion of that moment or the betrayal that you feel happened. And then you're asking them to kind of look past that, look down the line to future them.
And it can be very hard for people to do because the emotions are very real.
Mm-hmm.
I've been through a divorce myself, and I think that's helped me in my practice because
from an empathy standpoint.
Correct. And I understand the feeling of I'd rather pay my lawyer. and I didn't do it that way. But, you know, those feelings are real. Mm-hmm. And the idea of I'll just give away everything to get out of this. That's a very real feeling, too.
Right. So the other side, like on one side, you're saying, OK, I'm going to get every last nickel. And then another thing is, OK, I give. I don't even care about this because I just want out.
Exactly. And a lot of people have that attitude. And, you know, when someone comes to me with that, I tell them, look, this is your life. This is your money and this is your future. You are my client. You make these decisions. However, if you walk away from everything, how are you going to start your future?
Right.
You know, and then the decision's up to them.
Right. And then for you doing this, it sounds like from your standpoint, you're getting involved emotionally a lot, but you have to kind of keep a distance. Is that hard for you to keep that balance, that work-life balance?
It can be. I've gotten better with it over time. I do think it's a practice, and I think every attorney has had a case or two where they've gotten too personally attached. Mm-hmm. And I try not to do that because I'm no longer serving my client's best interest that way. I am best when I am neutral. And so it's
but you have to be neutral without being cold, right?
Correct. And I think the easiest thing for me in maintaining that balance is to remind myself that this is their life and these are their decisions.
And their choices.
Correct. And so if they want to make a choice that is not great for them, in my opinion, I'm still not the one who has to live with it. They have to, and I have to let them do that.
And you just present the facts as you see them, and they're making, they're the, get the ultimate call, not you.
Right.
You can just recommend.
Exactly. And I think it's important for an attorney to understand that's their role, too. I don't make these decisions for anybody. They're not mine to make. And so that helps with the balance.
Now, any moments that you remember that were rewarding that you felt like, wow, I really kind of made a difference?
I am fortunate because I've had a lot of those moments. I've had a number of clients reach out to say that, you know, they're doing much better. They were so grateful for the counsel and the guidance through that process. I've had custody situations work out well for the children based on my investigation and recommendation. Yeah, I consider myself pretty fortunate in that. I've got a lot of good moments.
Now, have you ever had something where maybe at first you both thought it was going to go one way and then you start digging in and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, where'd this come from? And like, you know, one of those movies where they have a whole second life or some.
Yes, those clients are ones I tend to fire. Yes. Some people don't always tell you all the relevant facts.
Or what they think is relevant.
Correct.
Right?
I guess and, that's
in the eye of the beholder, relevant, right?
And being blindsided at court in front of the judge probably one of the worst moments. Because, you know, if you haven't prepared your lawyer for what's to come and they get caught off guard.
That's not good for anybody.
Exactly.
So that's happened?
Oh, yeah, that's happened.
Has it ever happened the other way where the other lawyer got surprised?
Yes. But, you know, our rules of civil practice and our laws don't allow us to do trials the way you see on TV, meaning that we don't get to pull out surprise evidence that we haven't shared. So if I'm going to surprise somebody, it's frankly, it's because they didn't do their job and asked me the right questions ahead of time to be prepared, because our laws don't really let us do that.
So now any advice for someone that is going through a divorce, like is there before they get contact you, what should they be doing to kind of get ready to contact you?
Well, number one, they should assume that everything they write will be shown to the judge. Everything they say is being recorded. I would not underestimate anybody in the process. If they have certain strong opinions about the other party, I'd ask them to not publicize them. Let's stay off of social media.
Oh, so like sometimes people go on like on one of the social media channels and just start blasting the other.
I get a lot of information on social media.
Is that true? Has that happened like 10% or more?
More.
And really?
You know what happens a lot is the client's new fiance likes to post pictures of the giant ring while I'm in the middle of a child support case and child support wasn't paid.
Poverty, right?
Exactly. That happens a lot.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, social media hurts most people. So I would tell potential clients to step
hit the brakes
back
a little bit.
Yep. And no matter how complicated or uncomplicated they think their issues are, everyone should consult with an attorney. At least do a consultation. It doesn't mean you have to hire, but get information so that you know what you're talking about when you go in to negotiate these things.
Couples try to do this? Hey, let's not hire an attorney. Let's just kind of, we know each other for 20 years. Let's just do this ourselves.
So most of the time they say that to each other and at least one has consulted with someone.
So they have more information. Maybe.
Correct. And it's a bad practice. Everyone should consult with an attorney. Everyone should know what the laws are so we know what we're working within.
Because a layperson doesn't know what they don't know, right? They know something, like you said, that they saw on television.
Exactly. You know,
those shows.
Right. A lot of people might think, oh, well, this account isn't only in my name, so he doesn't get it. That's not true.
Right.
In Georgia law says that everything from the date of marriage forward is marital, regardless of title. So, you know, things like that are important for people to know.
Now, we talked a lot about kind of the bad stuff of family law. Isn't there some, do you do wills and trusts and things like that?
I don't do any of that nice, happy stuff.
So you do all of the...
I do the hard stuff. I actually, I am my best in a highly contested custody action. Mm-hmm. I do well with high conflict parents.
So that if you have a spouse that's feisty, they should be calling you.
Yeah. I have decent client control. I'm not afraid to yell at my clients. I'm not afraid to tell them that they're being real, you know, unreasonable or a jerk or worse. And I think that's kind of what helps me in these situations.
Now, what about advice for the person that thinks they might have trouble, like they sense something's amiss?
Continue to be on your best behavior. And you know, I'm not one that's advocating for divorce.
But are there red flags? Like, what are some red flags?
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, certainly the obvious ones, people not coming home, not returning phone calls. And, they're, you know, when people are out of their routine is usually when you can sense it. Certainly changes in how finances are being handled tend to signal something. Those are probably the biggest red flags people can look for.
Is there any time, do you have a story where somebody just missed every, like, it was, to you, it was obvious, and then they were just kind of, you know, oblivious?
Well, you know, we have a lot of situations where, you know, based on the division of labor in a family, you still have situations where one spouse is not on any of the bank accounts, does not know what any of the money is. And so I think it tends to be people in that position who are hit the hardest because all the external indicators of something are not necessarily obvious. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, if we go back and trace those accounts, you know, so-and-so has been moving money for 4 months.
So it was obvious if you were paying attention.
Exactly.
Well, if somebody wanted to learn more or have more substantive conversation, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
They can call or they can email me. I am a small practice to be able to give my clients kind of individualized attention. They can also find me online at my website or on AVVO, A-V-V-O.
And then what's your website?
YouFamilyLaw.com.
And that's YouFamilyLaw.com?
That's correct.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Office Evolution Radio.